Good morning. This is Pastor Brad Lacey of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word. And for this hour, it is my great privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. For the preponderance of the hour, I am joined by a very dear man and a gent I've wanted to join me on the broadcast for some time, Pastor Frank Alexander of Grace Chapel in Wellfleet, Cape Cod. But Pastor Frank and I will share conversation on the other end of our homily, yet again drawn upon the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." For those of you who are listening, it is my great prayer that you are like Theophilus, lovers of God, or in the very least that you are seekers after the truth, and such truth will be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But you are to me, as was Luke to the Apostle Paul, that Luke was the dear doctor, and you are the dear members of our audience, and I trust even a kind of listening congregation. And God speaks to his people who are part and parcel of this congregation. He calls us to himself, and often enough, he will also call us to wait. And waiting, as I'm sure we all realize, can be the most difficult of human endeavors. We are much more wont and much more inclined to be doers and to be active participants. But there are times of significance when it is incumbent upon us to wait. For myself, I have been reading a marvelous history as of late of the Second World War, a book entitled The Storm of War by the great British historian Andrew Roberts. And currently I'm reading the portion of his treatment on the landings at Normandy, commonly known as D-Day. It took months upon months of planning, hundreds of thousands of men amassing on the beaches, if you will, and awaiting the order to take their leave for the landings on June 6. The original date was June 5, but due to meteorological conditions, they were held back for another 24 hours, and the waiting grew longer and longer. But it was worth the wait, because conditions became as idyllic as they would ever be for that successful landing. And when you and I wait upon God, indeed from the 27th Psalm, we are told to wait upon the Lord. We are called upon to take heart and be men and women of courage and to wait for the Lord. Such waiting is salutary. It builds a rapport betwixt us and God. It develops the fiber and bone and marrow of our trust in him. And the wait will be proven worth it when the fullness thereof comes to pass. And for those of us who know the love and truth of Christ, the wait that we are called upon to pursue, we are waiting upon the Holy Spirit, and we are waiting upon the outpouring of that Spirit to enable us and to empower us to live lives as Christians. Christians worth their weight in name, for we are followers of Christ, and we bear the name of Jesus, and we dare not move, we dare not act without moving and acting in accordance with his directive and his will. For his will is good, and his will is pleasing, and his will is perfect, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1. And as my dear guest, Pastor Frank, will attest, those of us who have lived any length of time in the Lord, we know that where his will is being enacted, that for us it is both the safest and the most fruitful of places. There were two times over the course of my 30-plus years of ministry here in Conshohocken when I looked to take my leave. Circumstances were not going well. Circumstances were not treating me well. And I took time to pursue other options. But the good Lord never, ever gave me the green light. I had to wait upon him. I had to ride out the circumstances. And when all was said and done, the Spirit of the living God gave me a fresh outpouring of his presence and a fresh outpouring of his power. It is true that I had to learn my lessons amidst the circumstances. It is true that he needed to further shape my character and give further clear-cut direction, even to my instincts, let alone to my desires. But when all is said and done, the waiting proved worth the wait, and God gave me a whole new lease on ministry, and I found myself embarking upon a fruitful period that was just staggering. And I thank God that he gave me the grace to wait. If Jesus says wait, we wait. And the question becomes, do we trust him? Or do we trust our own bodily and emotional yearnings? It's best to put our trust in Christ, for he says that you heard from me. When you hear anything from Christ, and I recall the first time he ever spoke to me, it was in the privacy of my bedroom in August of 1975, and he spoke those words to me, words I've shared across this microphone many an occasion. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me put it this way, friends. My very dear guest and friend, Pastor Frank of Wellfleet on Cape Cod, he, like me, will recall when the Boston Red Sox won the World Series back in 2004. We had been waiting for this for 86 years, and we will never forget when the moment of fulfillment came. But it doesn't hold a candle to that first time that one hears the voice of Christ and he speaks those words of love and of grace and of salvation to our lives. I've waited 45 plus years now to hear him speak to me again. And from time to time, I will hear his voice, and it is unmistakable. But I'm waiting for that day, that great and fateful day, when his voice says to me, as recorded already in the Gospel of Matthew, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful in a little. I will set you over much. Enter thou into the joy of your master." That moment is worth the wait, but as I wait, I lend myself to him. And as I wait, I surrender my body. I surrender my mind and my heart. I've actually had to surrender my voice. I'm on the other end of a severe case of sinusitis. I talk too much. But all too often, praise God, I'm talking with people about the things of the gospel as we share today. And it is my great prayer that the Spirit of Almighty God will anoint my voice, even notwithstanding the effects of sinusitis. I pray that Pastor Frank and I will have that anointing as we wait upon God that he will still use us for his purpose, that he will continue to utilize us in service to him as we share and spread and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard from me, Jesus said. May those of you listening, if you are part and parcel of this listening audience, it is our prayer that you will hear the voice of Christ, the word of truth that speaks to our salvation, that you will hear it loudly and clearly, the truth going forth by way of the medium of the love of Christ. And I know that my guest, that inhabiting his person, is the love of Christ. I've had the privilege of attending his services and hearing his messages and coming to know his character. He is the man in whom the love and truth of Christ commingle. So friends, between now and his arrival, amidst the commercial divide, trust me, our conversation will be worth the wait. Praise the Lord. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is now my consummate pleasure to be joined by Pastor Frank Alexander. Pastor Frank is the pastor of Grace Chapel in Wellfleet, a lovely old rural town on Cape Cod up there in Massachusetts. My wife and I stumbled into his church one Sunday several years back, and we now, whenever we return to the Cape, make a point to visit his church. He has a lovely little fellowship, a beautiful wife, and he brings the character of Christ, and let me tell you, a great sermon. Pastor Frank, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, it's a joy to be here. I've been looking forward to just sharing about my Lord and my Savior and my best friend ever. His name is Jesus.
Well, praise God. You and I are in competition for who his best friend is, right?
Well, that's a good competition.
He has the capacity to embrace us all in that way. Pastor Frank, I have wanted you on for a long time, and we've made it happen, praise God. Share with us, please, your story of faith.
Well, first of all, I want to share a scripture, Psalm 107:2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And, you know, from a long time, I stopped right there. But the rest of the scripture says, "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." The first part of my story of faith is quite difficult for me to share in some points as a human, for it wasn't a very good life that I had. I had a brother and a sister. I was the oldest of the three. My home was a broken home. I know there's a lot of stories, but I'm going to tell my testimony and what God has done for me. I was the oldest of three. I woke up one morning being a mommy's boy up to the point of I was 10 or maybe 11. It's a little bit foggy there. Than previous years, there was a lot of discord in my family. My father was abusive, and I lived that way. My mother always looked out for us, but it was many a morning my brother and sister would be woken up in the middle of the night, and my dad, for whatever reason back then, I don't know, would kind of abuse my mother. We'd wake up in the morning, and my mother many a time would be bruised on her arms and several times even to have a black eye. And one morning, I don't know how she took care of us in between there, and she always did. Dad was always away working someplace. And up to that point, our friends at school and friends that we played with, they had a nice home. And so we were trying to figure out what's wrong with us. And one morning I got up, I was around 10 or 11. I don't remember even how old, but it was around there. And my mother was gone. And so another part of my life just got worse from that point. And I couldn't articulate what labels to put on it, but it was kind of a doom day. My brother and sister, they were younger than me. Our plan from that time and that age was that when I became 16, the magic number, I'd be able to get a license and pick them up, and we would run away to where we didn't know, but it was just a bad time. And so that was the beginning of my life, and it got worse because I did get 16 and did get a license and did leave home. I met many of my father's girlfriends. In that meantime, he perhaps did the best he could raising us without a mother, and whatever he had going on deep in his heart to make him who he was at that time, it was difficult. I hadn't seen my mother, and fast forwarding for many, many years. And my life got worse and worse. At 17 years old, I married a girl at 14. If I'm not going to have a family, I'll have my own. And of course, I wasn't ready for that. I was broken inside. I didn't even know how much. I would see my brother and sister from time to time. They would go from house to house and live different places, as well as myself. I went to liquor. I never did drugs, thank God for that. But I went to liquor and just lived a very rebellious, awful life. Met another girl, many girls, but the one I'm married to now, I had met her at the wrong time in the wrong place, looking to heal things inside of me. One day, we were ready to split. I was getting to be like my father, being abusive in language and also abusive to her in ways that I'm ashamed of to this very day. But one day, we were ready to split, and she went to Cumberland's. We were living in a little community in Dudley, and we were ready to break up again. And she went to Cumberland's, and at Cumberland's Market, she met an old girlfriend who was really the, well, she was had a reputation in a community that wasn't so good. But when my wife met her, there was something different about her, and they started talking, and the girl said, "Why don't you come over to the house and we'll talk?" Well, my wife did, and her friend Judy had come to Christ, and she told my wife about it and how she was going to church. Well, my girlfriend at that time was ready to leave and go away. And when she came back, she wasn't going to go away, and something happened, and I didn't know what. I was brought up Roman Catholic, and I thank God for my upbringing to a good extent. I didn't know Jesus as my Savior, but I knew about him historically to the in a religious standpoint. So she was going to a church that was non-Catholic, which was very difficult for me. But having such a life, I couldn't even dream that how in the world could it ever be put back together. Well, God was working in her life. And she asked me if she could go to church. And I says, "What has happened to her? We were at odds so much, she wouldn't ask me for anything." And rightly so, the way I treated her. But I said, "Sure, go ahead." And that kind of showed that maybe we weren't going to split up. She went to church, and she received Christ. And things changed for her. And I had no idea what it was, but the change was quite remarkable. She became someone that showed love to me, which, from a little boy, I was missing in my life. Finally, after some time, her going to church, and she would always ask me, and she would change. She would show her kindness. Things were happening in her life. I had no idea what they could possibly be. But it came to a point where it was so beautiful that I wanted it. I finally accepted to go to church with her, and I received Christ. And my life began to change. And broken pieces started to be put together. The enemy is a powerful enemy, and he doesn't want to let go. So we had a time of moving forward together now, and there were a lot of pieces to be put back together. Some people have a honeymoon experience when they accepted Christ. That wasn't the way with me outside, but inside I knew something happened. And that little church that was just the shell of a building, there wasn't much music at all, no musicians. It wasn't a fancy building, but I remember the book we used, The Melody of Praise. Never heard songs like that before. Tell it to Jesus. I remember When My Burdens Rolled Away, Mansion Over a Hilltop, I Surrender All. They would pierce my heart like I can't explain to you entirely, but try as I will. It changed me. And I experienced such a powerful conversion in Christ's name, in spite of lack of this or lack of that. Just a
Pastor, if I may,
yes.
You're not the first man I know from Worcester, Massachusetts. By the way, down here we pronounce it Worcester, but up there we say Worcester. You're not the first guy from Worcester I know who came out of a bad upbringing and experience, yet who came to know the love of Christ. The difference is you stayed up there.
Yeah.
He's now down here with me. But praise God for a man named Ed. Praise God for a man named Pastor Frank. Pastor and I will return on the other end of the commercial divide. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Pastor Frank Alexander returning for a second round together of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Pastor, you shared with us your story, God bringing you from a terrible situation into the light and love of Christ, but now you've been used for decades to bring others into the light and love of Christ, and I would love to know how he brought you to that place whereby you acknowledged a call to ministry.
Well, I just had a message in my heart that would just burn there. To continue, as time went on, my mother came to Christ. She came back into my life. My father, on his deathbed, came to Christ. And so I would burn with a message of what Jesus has done. And I wanted to learn how to present that message. So I was blessed to go to a great Bible school. I went to Zion Bible Institute in East Providence, Rhode Island. And that was a key for me to go to different places now with a title, Reverend. I wasn't looking for a title to have for myself, but a door opener to go to places and tell a story that would burn in my heart, how God put my life together. In the first marriage, I had two children. Didn't take care of them, didn't take care of a wife. How in the world could things so awful come together? And God did it. God did it. God redeemed my children, redeemed a marriage, had a wife. I've been married now 54 years. My dad accepted Christ. My mother accepted Christ. And on and on it goes. I had to have a podium I burned, no matter where it was and who was there, whether it was one or two people or a huge crowd. What a story to tell that people can have hope. And hope is a powerful thing. Brad, I know you know this, and I know Frank does too. There are people all over that have no hope. How could I not want to share with them the message of messages of hope? That no matter how deep you are in mire, and no matter how strong the enemy is, and he is strong, make no bones about it, but our God is stronger, and nobody is a match for him. And he's a God of love and a God of hope. So like the Apostle Paul, who was such an intelligent man and had much to say, what did he do in the book of Acts when he was in the palaces? He told his testimony. He shared what God did for him. And everybody who has accepted Christ has a powerful message. It might be a little bit different than mine, but in a way it's the same. That Jesus came and he changed me and gave me a future and forgave me of everything and gives me the strength when I think about what a shameful life I had and the responsibility I had not to have it be shameful. His forgiveness and the price that he paid, my brothers, is so powerful. I cannot thank him enough. What think ye of Christ? The question came up in Matthew's gospel. Oh, I live for somebody to ask me that. And I could clearly tell them without any studies at any colleges, I think he's the most greatest, awesome person that's ever been and ever will be. He's the Savior of the
world.
You
know, Pastor, my wife and I, we had left Cape Cod or Maine one year, and we had to leave early on a Sunday morning. It was before I had met you. And we found ourselves looking for a church somewhere in Connecticut as we made our way south. I don't even remember now where in Connecticut, but we found this little Baptist church, and it was a Southern Baptist guy, a lovely man. And I wrote to him when I got back to Philly. I loved his message. So I wrote him a note thanking him, and he wrote back to me. And I've always remembered what that note said. He said, Brad, the day, you know, you and I in theological circles, lots of guys love to study apologetics or the defense of the faith, and that certainly has an integral part in our ministry. But he says that day is over. It's now a day of proclamation.
Yes.
The intellectual credibility, thank God for it, but we need to be proclaiming with our lives.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I think of something that the great Cotter Conlon at Times Square Church in Manhattan once said, not that long ago. Your lovely congregate Linda has been, I don't know if she ever got in the church. She's walked past it many times when she's up in Manhattan. But he made the comment not that long ago. He says, you know, we've played away the day of grace. What we have left now is prayer. And I know you to be a man of testimony. I know you and your little church to be a people of prayer as well. And so I'm curious, how does prayer factor into your life and ministry?
Well, personally, I think that's the greatest thing, prayer. But in prayer, prayer is a word of action.
And
it will get you to take that grace and apply it with faith and do something with it. And it has to be, otherwise we'll be dormant. And the message we have is not a message to be dormant about. We just had a Glory of God on Cape Cod rally here with over 250 people show up down to Wellfleet Town Pier. Now, Wellfleet is a very liberal community, a lovely community, but Wellfleet, like so many other communities, needs Jesus. And we need to ask the Lord, that's prayer. We need to ask the Lord, how do we reach these people whom the enemy has a hold on, like he did with me? And so God has given me, through prayer, the opportunity to believe that no matter what your situation, whether you're on top as far as being wealthy and educated and healthy, people need the Lord. And through prayer, that gives us the direction as to how to love, as D.L. Moody said, how to love a man, how to love a man. And to see the love of God in the person's heart melts. The enemy doesn't know how to deal with godly love. He deals with a lot of other things, but he cannot deal with the love of God. And through prayer,
utterly,
he wants us to be loving people. And so
he's utterly befuddled by it. Yeah, utterly befuddled. You know, we have a friend, my wife and I. As a matter of fact, he's Assemblies of God. And he's a missionary over in Uzbekistan. Mm-hmm. Mike, I'll leave it at that. A lovely guy. And we met him up at a wonderful AG church in Maine, just outside of Portland. And Mike was in India many, many, many years ago. And he was he came across a man living in a cardboard box. His body was covered in all kinds of sores. And I mean, he was an eyesore. And Mike had a profound heart of compassion for him. So as he walked away, he cried out to God. And he says, Lord, you've got to send somebody to help that poor man. Right on the spot, the Spirit of God responded to that prayer. And he says, I am sending someone to help him. You're the guy.
Yes.
And for Mike, as for you and as for me, prayer gives us direction.
That's
It's the channel through which God gives us the specific direction.
Thank you.
The Word gives us the general direction.
That's right.
The Spirit of God, the specific.
That's right. That's a great word. Thank you for sharing with me.
How did he take you to Wellfleet if you came from Worcester?
Well, I was with Four Square for 21 years. It's a great group of people. And in a transition time, I went to the Assemblies of God. And my role was, as the Lord would lead me, to go to churches that were broken, just like people are broken and churches are people. And so I've gone to several churches in the assembly that they had me go to that were broken and be an interim and prepare for a full-time pastor to come. So when they asked me to go to Wellfleet, they asked me to go for 3 months. I realized I needed to be there a little longer, 6 months. I'm going into my 15th year now. We were able to take a church that was kind of hurt and so forth and build it up, and I was able to move into the community. We were able to build a parsonage and go, you need to be in the community, I believe, and get to know the people and be there and wake up in the morning with them and find out who they are and how they are. In wintertime, regular, we have 2,000 people population. Right now in the summer, we probably have 20, 25,000 people from all over. It's a wonderful platform to reach all kinds of people. And it gave us an incentive from a little flock to have a big mission from the Lord and to know that God can trust a little group of people to reach a large group through his love, his power, through prayer and direction. So it's quite a challenge. So that's how, and I come to find out, God gave me vision for Wellfleet to love them. That makes a difference. So you're not just hanging around. You've become part and parcel of that community. And you got to know all kinds of people, even those who are anti-against you. You even love them like God loves all people and reaches out to everybody so that they can know there's a message of hope in Christ. It's a wonderful message.
Well, you'll be intrigued. Yeah. Pastor, you'll be intrigued. I share your philosophy. And I've invested 32 and a half years here in Conshohocken. We're right outside of Center City, Philadelphia. But the extent of my investment in the town, historically an old school Roman Catholic community of more recent vintage, very millennial and more secular. But my Catholic friends, and I have a deep love for my Catholic friends, I always have, but they've called me over the years the Pope of Conshohocken, because I'm so heavily invested. And I take it as a badge of honor. And many people will call me Father. And, you know, out of respect to my priestly colleagues, I try to correct them. It does no good. So whatever they want to call me, they know that I care. Yeah. And I have no doubt the people of Wellfleet know also that you care. But Pastor Frank, we also have to care for the station, and they have some business. Pastor Frank Alexander and I will return in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Pastor Frank Alexander of Grace Chapel, Wellfleet on Cape Cod in Massachusetts, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Pastor Frank, during the break, we were talking about a bookshop restaurant in Wellfleet. I want to also ask you, what does Wellfleet on Cape Cod have in common with Old City, Philadelphia? The answer is you have another bookshop in Wellfleet called Heritages on a Curve. It's a charming bookshop. It is owned by a man named Peter, originally born and in Boston, I think Newton to be precise. For some 40 or more years, he is the proprietor of The Book Trader, a secondhand bookshop here in Old City, Philly, right across the street from Christ Church, where George Washington worshiped during his Philadelphia tenure. Peter owns The Book Trader in Philly and Heritages in Wellfleet. So there's an interesting point for you to consider. But Pastor, you have a word that I would love for our congregation listening by way of the airwaves to consider. So please, sir, you take it
from
here.
Well, you know, with COVID changed a lot of things. And we went on Facebook and we had services on our website. And our title was to stay connected. This is a time when people are just kind of straying away. But we need to stay connected as believers, not forsaken the fellowship. We need each other. We need to be the body of Christ. I see the dangers in our country that I dearly loved. Our country is dearly to be loved because of what God has done for this great country. And our country is great because we send missionaries out. And our country is great because of our relationship with Israel. And we need to stay connected to those points as Christian people and look for opportunity in spite of God is bigger than any pandemic. God is who we need and who the world needs. Our country will be great. Our church will be great according to our relationship in the body of Christ to God. That's the answer to everything. And you mentioned prayer before. Prayer will keep us on those goals and keep us sharp and keep us so sensitive that we'll be able to see, even from enemies, that we'll be able to bring them the message of hope, and it will cut through like butter's cut through with a hot knife. We can do it. He's the only way, and we need to stay connected, stay in the Word, worship the Lord, praise the Lord, and just be the light of the world. And just look for opportunities like you gave me to be able to share what Jesus has done for me. And that's what he's done for me. He gave me life. He gave me hope, not only temporal, but for all eternity. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you so much.
You know, Pastor, there's a wonderful quote from Charles Dickens. You have to wade through one of his humongous novels entitled Nicholas Nickleby. It's one of his earlier pieces. But there's a quote in there, and I pretty much give a verbatim of it. He says that hope is heaven's own gift to struggling mortals. It pervades all things like some subtle essence from the sky. It is more infectious than disease, and it is more universal than death. Now, Dickens was speaking of hope in a very general way, but you and I speak of hope in a very specific way, hope that is embodied in the person and work, the promise of Jesus Christ. And praise God, you and I both have the privilege of knowing him, and I'm sure I speak for you. It's a privilege to share him.
Yes.
You know, we're seeing more and more now an increase in suicides amongst the young and the elderly because they're lacking the hope. And I think part of that, and I'd love to hear your response, part of that is because we've broken ranks with our heritage. One of the things that made this country such a palatable place was that by the grace of God, allowance was made for the gospel at the table, if you will. The gospel was given free rein to roam and to spread. Ministers and priests of the gospel were given a place of honor at the table. Churches were given tax exemptions. That whole mindset has been being now dismantled. And our younger and older, indeed all of us, we're paying a heavy price for that. You and I have the message to counteract it.
Well, we need to get back to the basics. We need to know the enemy is telling us the foundation is destroyed and we have no foundation. And they're pointing out the things that are wrong in the church. And they're not pointing out anything that's right with the church. The foundation has never changed. It's more solid today as we get near the return of the Lord than ever before. The foundation is Christ. It's nothing else. And so we need to get back to that foundation of Jesus. It's even coming within our churches that there's other ways to God other than Jesus. And we need to fight that fight. And sometimes it's a difficult battle, but we need to fight that. The victory's already been won. Jesus has already won the victory.
I'm in one of those battles right now within my Baptist Association. My Catholic friends, I've entered into a lovely a circle of Catholic brethren who know the love of Christ, and they're battling it right now. There's a remnant, Pastor Frank. God is raising up a remnant within all of the traditions, and it's centered around the person of Christ. But it's not just the love of Christ; it's the truth of Christ. And the message of the gospel, as you know, the love and truth of Christ commingle. You cannot have without the
other. That's right. You know, everybody says that God is all loving, and they want to hear that message. All love. God is not all loving. God is also just, and there's quite the balance with that. Thank God we still have the law, but the church lives under grace, but grace has its conditions. And grace has its, we need to be perfect people. And what that means is we need to be complete in our walk with him where we are. If it's springtime, the leaf has a bloom. But in the fall, it has the apple. And if it doesn't have an apple, there's something wrong with it. Mm. And so we need to be perfect, complete in Christ in our walk, whether newly saved, in the middle, or at the end. And there's no change there. I think there's a weeding out in the church, too, with the wheat and the tares that God is doing. And some people are looking for easy way out. And there's no easy way out. We need to walk the walk with him. And as we heard that expression, to talk the talk and walk the walk. And we need to do that. And if it's genuine salvation, we will do that, you know. And so we need to bring the church into America, not America into the church. And that's what made America great.
And I might add, America bless the Lord if God is ever again to bless America. Pastor, in about 20 seconds, tell us about your church. 20 seconds or less.
We have a lovely church. We have senior people, and we have some young people. We have some wealthy people. We have some poor people. But we're together. We're together. We're one. I think God is looking for unity in the church in Christ. It's a powerful weapon how people can come to church and embrace each other in spite of trials that we go through. And we're hungry for the things of the Lord. We're in unison, expecting a great summer to be able to reach people from all over, from New York, from Jersey, from Pennsylvania, from Connecticut. They come down here, and we just love them all. And we're looking forward for a great year to meet them, too.
Praise God, and they have a wonderful pastor and pastor's wife. Pastor Frank Alexander and Brad Lacey, with the great message, we bid you every blessing of God. Thank you.